When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Voiceover Coffee Shop, episode number 61.
Welcome to the Voiceover Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the Voiceover Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about me, then feel free to check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we are honored to be joined by the fabulous Tina Marosco. Tina has worked steadily in film and television for years, with credits including Jane the Virgin, Castle, Parks and Recreations, Two and a Half Men, Numbers, Boston Legal, CSI, Cold Case, and many, many more. She can also be heard every Monday night as the voice of the HGTV hit series Love It or Lose It, as well as countless TV and radio commercials and promos. And in 2018, she joined forces with Sound and Fury Media, where she is currently the head of voiceover casting. In this episode, we talk about how to really get yourself into the conversational read, the do's and don'ts when submitting your auditions to casting agents, and current trends in upcoming VO scripts. Stay tuned.
So how are you doing today, Tina?
Hey, I didn't realize we were off to the races. I am doing very well. How about you? It's beautiful. It's spring. I'm on the East Coast, so I'm really getting to enjoy like a true spring this year. So that's really nice.
Good. Fantastic. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
I am the one person in the entire world that does not drink coffee.
Oh, really? What starts your day off?
In terms of like, how do I get hyped?
Yeah. How do you get hyped? How do you get ready for the day? I mean, there are a lot of people in the world that use coffee as like a ritualistic experience, and it's something that a lot of the world shares, but everybody has like a different way of like getting hyped and getting their day started. So what is like a day start in the life of Tina?
Like an awesome answer for that. But actually my truthful answer is an awesome answer for the actors out there listening, because so my days are set up where I coach actors in the morning before I start casting. So so I usually, you know, like get up, just get myself ready. And then immediately, like the first thing I do is engage with one-on-one with an actor, you know, voice talent. And to be honest, and this isn't just like something I'm saying, that is what gets me like going for the day. That's what gets me, you know, creatively fulfilled and gets the juices flowing and gets my sort of like, you know, my extrovert energy, you know, like exchange satisfied for the day. So I work with actors, you know, twice a day, and then I go rolling into my casting day, which even though it is, you know, it's an incredibly creative, you know, like endeavor. It's not interactive, you know, because you guys are all recording in your home booths or whatever and sending it in. I don't get to like actually exchange energy with anybody. I'm receiving all of your energy and, you know, and I'm creating a casting link and making it very like, you know, as, you know, like just fulfilling for the client's needs as I possibly can. But the actual, like what fuels my soul is the energy exchange between me and actors. And that's what starts my day.
Well, how did you get into the world of voiceover? Because I know you started as a talent in the 90s. And then,
oh, no,
then you...
I started even before that as an agent. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
So, mm-hmm. And right after college in the 90s, I became an agent trainee at William Morris in New York, which mm-hmm. now it's WME, but back then it was just called William Morris. And I kind of floated through all the different departments and then landed in commercial, voiceover, and soap opera. They were all kind of lumped into one department. Mm-hmm. And the assistants had a ton of responsibility back then. So I was like getting thrown into the booth and putting celebrities on tape all the time. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know.
Fake it till you make it, right?
God bless him, his soul. I was walking Gilbert Gottfried to the restroom all the time. And like wild, wacky, picking up Julia Roberts dry cleaning, like just wild and wacky, like
that's crazy. You know,
working at a celebrity agency in the 90s. It was all that. And then, and voiceover, the woman who I worked for, who was my first mentor, she was really the voiceover maven. And she taught me so much. She taught me about like, I never really ever even knew what a voiceover was. And so like, you know, she would teach me about like, okay, this is how I would describe this person's voice. And it would be like rich and velvety. And I was like, gosh, I never thought about like, you know, the qualities that different vocal tones had and stuff. And it was just really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of hands-on experience. And then ICM kind of came knocking and wanted me to help them start their scale voiceover department. So ICM only represented celebrities at the time for voiceover. And they wanted to have a piece of the day-to-day, you know, the regular people doing voiceover market. And the person who hired me went there to just represent celebrities. So he didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So he brought me over to start the department. So cool. I was there and we had no clients. And every single night I would go out to Broadway and off-Broadway and performance art and like my bartender at the Raccoon Lodge had a cool voice. I started her voiceover career. She's like, she became like the voice of the 90s. She booked everything under the sun for like that entire decade.
Wow.
So we would find people from all different walks of the performance life and bring them into our studio and teach them how to do voiceover. And in that process of that, we had to create like an agency demo, like all the, you know, now you have all your agencies have websites and everybody's demo is on the website.
Right.
Back then we had to create CDs. This is like how much I'm dating myself. And none of our clients had ever done voiceover before. We found Liev Schreiber out of his Yale showcase. And like, I mean, like Jeffrey Wright from Angels in America. Like we found all of these unbelievable talents and taught them how to do voiceover. So we also produced all of their demos for them to create our ICM, you know, agency demo CD. So that's how I learned how to produce demos. That's how I learned how to direct talent. And I, you know, kind of built a department from scratch. Then I got struck by lightning and decided I wanted to be a talent. And mm-hmm. so I went back to graduate school for acting and got my MFA in acting. And then I went out to LA to, you know, pursue my acting career. And voiceover was kind of like the logical bread and butter because I had all the behind the scenes knowledge. And then I had all the voice and speech training from grad school. And I kind of put those two things together and voiceover became my like absolute day to day. And then I, you know, I did a lot of guest stars and smaller parts on movies and stuff like that. But voiceover was always like, it was just that always that constant in my life and always coached all along the way. And then about 5 years ago, as like a sort of like, hey, you know, Carly's going to be out on maternity leave. Do you want to kind of like just help out for a couple of months at Sound and Fury? And then I did that thinking it was going to be this cute little like, oh, you know, it'll be easy. I'll be in my PJs just kind of listening to voices. And then I realized what the Sound and the Fury entailed. I mean, right. And it was, you know, like much more than a full-time job. And so that's my new, you know, like my new endeavor.
Yeah, how were you teaching people that had never done voiceover? I mean, this might be dated information, but like, but people that had never done voiceover that you were picking up from Broadway, how were you teaching them to do voiceover? Like, what?
Oh, well, they were acting. It's all acting, right?
Right, I mean, right. Well, what?
And always will be acting, right?
Right.
It's acting. So you get these incredible actors, and you just basically you show them that, you know, yes, this is an ad, right? But there's still a story here to be told. Mm-hmm. So how do you truthfully live through that story moment to moment the way you would on stage or the way you would on camera? And that's why the department was so wildly successful, because we had incredible actors. Like, and that was sort of the first, like the big shift in the business when things were going from, you know, the kind of the tried and true announcer voices,
right,
to more like, oh, we're treating these ads as short films now. And we want actors to sort of like tell these stories and not so much, you know, like sell us a product.
Right. Well, I know the VO side, but what are a lot of the challenges that maybe us voice jockeys don't realize that you casting directors and coaches are going through on a daily basis?
Oh, you mean the challenges that actors present to us?
Yes, yes. How can we present you with less problems?
Yes, that's a great question, actually. I mean, it's as simple. The answer is so simple and yet so elusive to many. The answer is just simply take the time to read all of the directions on that script. It's one piece of paper. Sometimes we go to page two, but very rarely, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we'll put things in big, bold, red letters, and then people still will just either mispronounce whatever we took the time to find a pronunciation reference link for, or we just did one last week where it was like, this piece of it needs to come in around 6 seconds. People were going 18, 19 seconds. And it's like in big red letters right before the words that they're actually saying. So it's like,
Right. Take
the time to read what's on the page, because otherwise it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of our time. You know, it's like you're putting all that effort in, make sure it's a viable option, because I can't put through something that's 18 seconds when it has to be 6 seconds, you know?
Right.
So just basic, like we are painstakingly meticulous about trying to go, okay, what are all of the possible questions that actors could have looking at this? Like, are there words that look like they could be treacherous in terms of pronunciation? Are there, if they're celebrity prototypes, we try to put reference links for everybody. So mm-hmm. all you have to do is click, like literally just click on the link and just kind of, you know, just get a sense of everything that we're asking for. And so it's just basic follow directions. That's all.
Right. Well, outside of like attention to detail, with a lot of your coaching, what have you seen where as common problem areas where voiceovers need to work on more?
That's another great question. Okay, so my big, I would say like the thing that I'm really working on the most on a daily basis with actors now is every well-meaning agent, manager, coach out there is always saying like, you got to sound more conversational. You got to sound more conversational, which is 100% right. And you have to do less. You have to do less because the picture's doing the work. Also correct.
Right.
But in striving to do less or to sound conversational, there is a huge difference between achieving a conversational sound
and sounding boring.
And actually having a conversation. Those are two very different things. And the difference is intention. Okay. So I can make something sound really conversational. I can say like, AT&T puts you and your world first with Right to You. That sounds pretty conversational, right?
But it does.
Any freaking idea what that means or why I'm saying it?
Nope.
Exactly. But it sounded conversational. That is the epidemic of what's happening in auditions right now. Everybody's like sounding conversational, but I have no idea why they're saying it or what it means. And what's happening is the intention, right? It's like when you're actually having a conversation, we're having a conversation right now. Mm-hmm. There's an intention. You asked me a question, and my intention is to shed as much light on this particular subject as I can based on my day-to-day experience, right? So I have an intention, which is to communicate this clearly, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have the first line of a voiceover script too, you need to know, okay, who am I talking to? And what did they specifically say that forces me to say the first line of the script? So it's a response to something. And in that response to something, the answer to the question, why am I saying that? That's your intention, right? So I might be saying it to hype you up or to calm you down and let you know, like, hey, in the AT&T case, like, don't sweat it. Something bad happens to your phone, AT&T will show up to wherever you are, get you a new phone and get you on your way. So my intention is to calm you down. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference between sounding conversational and actually having the conversation.
Right. And I think a lot of it's been overcorrection, because now that we're seeing conversational read, people are very focused on trying to get back to trying to have a conversation and forgetting that they're in front of a microphone. So like whenever you're doing your coaching, what are some methods that you've been using to kind of help that overcorrection? And to help put more intention into their read? What are different ways you've been helping people to understand how because saying it is one thing, doing it is a different thing.
Right.
So how have you been helping your students to put more intention into their words?
So it's just about figuring out what the story is that you're telling, mm-hmm. and then figuring out who from your real life you would be having that conversation with. And then specifically based on the story, kind of figuring out what they just said or did that forces you to respond with the first line. Right. So even if the first line is just introducing the new Toyota Camry and there's no context given, and you know, actors love to blow holes and things, and they'll be like, oh, you say nothing, you know, slick, polished, or announcery, and then the first line is introducing the new Toyota Camry.
Right.
Such a contradiction. But like, that's the game that we all signed up to play. So you might as well go, okay, I'm going to play it to the best of my ability, right? And so your job is to create three scenarios that work for you that you could respond with that opening line. So it could be, I've done this before, but I think it's a really good example. It could be you and I are next door neighbors, and I've been talking about getting a new car for 10 years. And you're like, Tina, I will believe it when I see it. It's never going to happen. And then I roll up in it and I'm like, read them and weep, Andrew. Introducing the new Toyota Camry. But did you hear how like grounded that made my voice, as opposed to typical commercial sounding would have been
introducing
like,
the new Toyota?
Yeah. Or it would have been like introducing, there would have been like this
bounce. The little, yeah.
And that is a typical commercial sound, right? Mm-hmm. But what stops you from sounding like a typical commercial is your connection to the circumstance, your connection to the person I'm talking to. I was looking at you and I was going, ha ha, in your face.
Yeah.
I did it. Check it out. Introducing the new Toyota Camry. And it quite literally grounds my voice and stops it from going into the sing-songy typical commercial melody.
Absolutely. So with you having such a finger on the pulse in the industry, what other trends have you seen that you may see take over voiceover in like the next year or two?
Well, I don't think anything's going to like take over. I think
it's
still like everything is, this is the good news with all the AI madness, right? Mm-hmm. The commercial world has never demanded us to be more in touch with our humanity and more in touch with our connection to each other. Mm-hmm. And because commercials now are being treated as if they're films, they're short films, they need actors to embody their story and to live truthfully through these films. And so you can program AI to give you a friendly read, right? But then it's gonna, let's just take that AT&T line, right? You can program AI to be friendly and it'll go, AT&T puts you and your world first with Right to You, but you can't program AI to respond to something that is organic and spontaneous. You can't program spontaneity. So if you come out and you're freaking out that you just smashed your phone, you can't program AI to be like, oh my gosh, Andrew, it's going to be fine. You know why? Because AT&T puts you and your world first with Right to You, right? Like, that's totally different than the way I did it the first time, because now I'm looking at you as opposed to like crafting that I'm talking to my daughter or something, right?
Right.
The spontaneity can't be reproduced. The way I respond to, you know, you have to craft like not just your opening line, right? But you have to craft then how the person is responding as you're talking. And then that changes your next line and your next line and your next line. And that's what creates true spontaneity. And that's what can't be programmed. So I think commercials are for the most part going to be safe from AI. I hope
right. This doesn't
come back 10 years later and everybody's like, haha, you were wrong. But I think so. But in terms of like trends that we're seeing a lot of, we're seeing like, you know, everybody wants conversational and real and authentic. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing a lot of is this breaking of the fourth wall. So
yes. You know,
where actors are now, like the voiceover is interacting with the on-camera talent. And they're sort of like, you know, or either interacting with the on-camera talent or commenting on like, hey, I'm the voiceover and I'm the voiceover, I'm the voiceover. And right. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, hey, oh yeah, cool couch. Nice job, Carl. And then you kind of come back to the voiceover before. So, you know, I don't think that's going to like take over voiceover, but it is right. A very, very, very popular trope that's happening right now.
Well, have you been using, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, and what we're listening for in those moments is that sort of effortless toggling between worlds, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to you, my attention gets pulled and I'm like, oh yeah, no. Okay, I'll be right there. And then I come right back to you, right? So we're listening right. For that. Your attention getting pulled, you address the thing, you maybe button it with an ad lib, and then you come right back.
Right. Well, what are some positive ways that you've seen AI being incorporated into the industry? Has AI been used within your offices at all?
No, God, no. No, we don't touch it. No. As a matter of fact, like, you know, there's been no noticeable impact in terms of like our casting world at all with AI, and obviously not with my coaching because I'm coaching right. You know, live actors all day, so right. So fortunately I'm happy to report that, like, you know, it hasn't really impacted the commercial world as of yet.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So with you just created the VO library, or the library rather.
Yeah, the library.
It's just called the library.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know that like a lot of coaches and a lot of experts in the industry have created similar, I don't want to say similar, but they've created courses. Mm-hmm. So what exactly have you created, and what have you used to kind of curate it to truly give talent a leg up in the industry?
So thanks for asking. So the library was born because actually, because my daughter was home, it was like the day before Thanksgiving and I had like maybe four coachings back to back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And she came, now we're trapped in a 2-bedroom apartment together. Before, you know, we lived in LA, we had a house and she was 3 floors up and couldn't.
Why'd you move away from LA?
Oh, because she is going to college in New York and didn't want to be 3,000 miles away from home. So she lives I'm on the Jersey side, but she happened to be home because it was the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So she came out of her room and she was like, oh my gosh, there has to be a more efficient way. Like everything that you're sharing with these actors is necessary and important, mm-hmm. but like you repeating it over and over and over again,
right.
There's got to be a more efficient way. And so mm-hmm. I started toying with the idea and then I started like sort of, you know, running it by clients as I was coaching them. And they were like, we would love to have something for in between our coaching sessions with you that really like helps ground us and remind us, you know, like all of the steps and what to do or whatever. So
right.
I sat down, I met with a producer and he was like, I was going to just do it sort of off the cuff extemporaneously because I can talk about voiceover all day for
right. Hours
and hours and hours. And he's like, and that's exactly why you need to script it. And I was like, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm not going to shoot this unless it's scripted. So I was like, okay. So I sat down to like script it. And I just kept going and going and going and going and going. So I ended up, once it was all edited and stuff, it's about 40 scripted pages, which is a little bit over 2 hours of content. And then I broke it down into bite-sized videos. And so it really is my foundational coaching technique, which is all based on really bringing your most authentic self, finding the story in every script, figuring out how to create that pre-life that will get you genuinely connected, and then living truthfully through it moment to moment. But then I also do videos on like the difference between take one and take two. I do a whole video on the structure of commercial scripts. I do a video on like specificity and simplicity, which is what we're listening for. So like the more specific you can be with your telling of the story, the more simply you can say it. So it can be truly
right. Yeah.
There's like a video on just about everything. And it's fun. I hope, I mean, people are saying that it's fun and it feels very much like our coaching session. So it feels as interactive as it can feel without, you know, without actually being on Zoom together. So, and you know, the intention was, and I actually coached somebody today that had completely watched the full library. I had never worked with that person before. And it was such a joy because the intention was, if you do want to work together, if you can watch this first, then you're going to already have all of the info that I usually spend the first half of our session together doing, and we can just jump right into the work and just start coaching and then getting into the hands-on practice of it. And that was exactly it. And he got so much out of the session. It was like, we were able to do like more than double the amount of work that I normally can get through because all of that, you know, downloading had been done. So it brought me so much joy. And then also people are being so lovely in their responses to it and saying that they booked work because of it. And people have gotten agents because of the way they, you know, incorporated the, you know, teachings into their auditions for the agencies and stuff.
Fantastic.
So it's been like such a labor of love and really truly fulfilling. So,
I mean, you kind of just went over everything that's in it. What was the funnest part of it to film? I'm curious.
Okay. So there's one video where the topic is about specificity. So I tell a story that's like it could only have happened in my insane life. It is a blackmail worthy story that I literally give away. But the way I tell the story, the intention and why I'm sharing this story is to say that like when you tell a story from your real life, you can't tell it without it just kind of flashing before your eyes and like replaying, right? So there is all of that specificity baked in because all of the memories are there and how you felt in those moments shows up and all of that is there. So I'm saying like when you tell a story from your real life, all of that specificity is woven in, and that's what you also have to do in these voiceover scripts. So I kind of like do a really fun anecdote about, you know, this crazy thing that happened. And then I kind of turn that on its head and say, and this is how you weave that into your telling of the commercial stories.
That's super cool. Yeah. I can't wait to finish watching it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like, I think it's video 8 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So you wear a lot of hats. What do you do outside of casting and coaching and all of these millions of things? Like, how do you, I know you get a lot of feed and a lot of energy from interacting with other voice talent, but like outside of that, what are your hobbies? Who is Tina Marasca? What do you enjoy? Like, what are other things that you enjoy?
I am a single mom and have been my daughter's whole life. So prior to like this year, she's been a competitive figure skater. And so I have my favorite hat of all was being a skate mom for a long, long time.
That's cool.
Watching That's her really cool. just like express herself in that way just brings me so much joy. So still a single mom. She's also an actress. So lots of helping her, you know, get her career going. I have two of the most adorable dogs to ever live. I have a pug named CeeLo and a mini dog named Snooki. And we named her before I even moved back to New Jersey.
So. I was about to ask.
So we are taking up residency at the Jersey Shore in June. So she will be amongst her people. And, you know, I'm deeply spiritual. I'm really into my spirituality and exploring, you know, like the depths of, you know, different spiritual practices and my own practice. And then just, you know, really in the little bit of time that's left, just connecting deeply with my, you know, close friends and family.
Well, what spiritual practices have you connected with recently that just kind of helped center yourself a little bit more?
Well, I'm currently working with a healer who does a lot of sound meditation and sound bath work.
Oh, that sounds fitting.
You know, to make that connection, but it's really, really, really powerful. And she's incredible. And just, you know, like how sound can stimulate certain memories, how it can heal, how it can soothe things. And that's been probably the most prevalent practice of late.
That makes sense. I mean, everything is vibrations. And I mean, that's kind of what we try to do as voiceover talent or as media producers, is we try to create vibrations that create nostalgia or create a sense of welcome or fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So if you were to write a letter to yourself and send it back to when you first got started as an agent, what would you tell your past self?
Oh, wow.
Back during a time where you didn't feel you were centered and you didn't feel like you had it all together and you were stepping into a big world of media and magic and all of these things surrounding you. What would you tell yourself from the position?
I would go back to when I was at ICM and I was like starting that department and I bit off a huge piece. Like it was, you know, I was like in my early mid 20s starting a voiceover department. And so there were a lot of walks to work where I would just have agita. I would just be like, I knew I had to negotiate a big deal that day. And I just felt like, you know, a little bit of imposter syndrome and just feeling like a fraud. And I think I would write a note and tell myself to just like, just trust yourself, because here's the thing. Everybody's faking it until they make it, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Everybody. And if you're just honest enough and vulnerable enough to just like not try to pretend and just be like, listen, this is what I think. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to just say, you know what? I'm going to get back to you on that and go ask a trusted source, ask my boss, ask whoever. Like, I think I would have said, you don't have to pretend that you know everything already. Mm-hmm. You are young and people respect that you're still learning, and just know that you're enough. You're doing a great job, and just don't feel like you are, you know, needing to be something that you're not.
Right. Well, I think faking it till you make it is just law of attraction from a different perspective. You know what I mean? Like projecting, hey, this is where I want to be and this is what I want to do. And I'm going to put myself in the position to do it and let the other things come through my planting of seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, that's like the big picture stuff. I mean, I felt pressure to have the answers at the top of
right. You always want to be knowledgeable and you always, I want you to come to me for things. And I know what you mean.
And I think I wish I had just been like, you know what? I don't know the answer to that right now, but I will find out and I will get right back to you. Like, I wish I had just.
It's crazy how much people respect that now too. Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't know, but I can go find out. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Like,
just knowing that I didn't have to, like, you know, I didn't have to have it all together in that moment, and just to go like, I know I'm earnest, I know I'm conscientious, and I know that I'm learning as I'm going, and just trust that that's enough.
Fantastic. Well, where can people find you, and where can people find the library?
The library. So it's my new website is tinamorascocoaching.com, and that is the home of the library. And on there is you can book a private coaching session, you can book a package of coaching sessions, you can buy the library, you can hear my demo production, which I have currently had to press pause on just because all the other things that I'm juggling are taking up so much time.
Right.
But at least you can hear the work that I've done. And if I kind of resume demo production, that, you know, that work will all stand for itself there. And the one thing that I would say is anybody who is interested in booking a coaching session, I would recommend reaching out to me first. There's like information of how to contact me, mm-hmm. and just get a date on the books before you pay for it. Like, there's no need to pay in advance, because sometimes people are paying in advance and then I'm booking in August and they're like, oh, I don't want to wait till August.
Right.
So, you know, schedule it first and then you can take care of payment later. You don't have to worry about paying ahead.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on. This has been an absolute treat. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And congrats to you and all the success and, you know, this wonderful podcast and providing such really pertinent and valuable information to the community.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure.
I really hope you enjoyed this truly enlightening conversation with Tina, where we broke down the fourth wall ourselves and discovered ways to truly connect with both a script and with people. If you'd like to get to know Tina or would like to get a copy of the VoiceOver Coaching Library, you can find it all on her website at www.tinamorasco.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money.